right. I haven't heard about all their trips yet either, so I'm super, super excited for tonight. So let's go ahead and bring them up. We have Tyler and Jacob and Kaylee, so stay tuned.
Hey guys. Yeah, so as you know, I went to Peru this past summer on a missionary trip for 6 weeks. And when I started planning out what I was going to say tonight, I had no idea where I was going to start. But I was told that Pastor Bill was going to be watching live tonight. So I guess I'll start out by saying, hey, Pastor Bill. But yeah, so anyways, when we first arrived in Peru, we landed in Lima, and it's the capital in Peru. And we stayed there for one night, and then we got on a bus the next morning and rode for 16 hours up to the Bible College in Cajamarca. It's in the mountains, in Peru. When we first arrived at the college, I honestly thought to myself, I don't know how I'm going to do this. 6 weeks away from my family, in a different country, at only 16 years old, with these two 12-year-olds, I'm going to die. So, yeah. But I got over that very quickly with a lot of prayer and knew that I was exactly where God wanted me to be. So the Bible College in Cajamarca was absolutely beautiful. I fell in love with the place and the mountains and the sunsets, but mainly the people. We each made so many good friends on this trip, and our team became more like a family. We had people on our team from Massachusetts, Peru, California, Florida, and, of course, Texas. And God knew exactly what he was doing when he brought this team together. We each played an important role, and God was able to use us and teach us in so many ways. And one thing we learned during our first 2 weeks of boot camp was allowing God to use us for our full potentials. And throughout the trip, I saw us all grow and allow God to do just that. Now, as I said, our first 2 weeks was called boot camp, and in that time, we went to class every day and studied through the book of Acts, and also in those 2 weeks, we did different workshops that allowed us to get to know each other better and learn about the culture and the language. So I was going to do this whole thing in Spanish, but then I was like, nah, I don't want to show off. Just kidding. I probably only know about 4 words on this thing in Spanish, including hola, so yeah. But even with the language barrier, I was able to talk to so many people, and we went on so many outreaches that allowed me to do that. And one of my absolute favorite places in Peru was a place called Chilete. And Chilete is a very small town about 2 hours away from the Bible College where we were staying. And Corey, our leader, had been going to Chilete for a while now with the Bible College students. So the kids in Chilete already knew who Corey was and about the groups that he had been bringing there. When we arrived at Chilete and got settled into our hotel, we went out in teams and to go invite kids to the VBS that we were going to have in the park. And so we went out, and almost every kid that we saw would just run right up to us and just run into our arms, and without even knowing who I was, and they would just wrap their arms around us and give us big hugs, and it was just awesome. And while we walked around inviting more kids, the kids we had already invited would just follow us around, even though the VBS didn't start for another like 2 hours. And they would constantly ask for piggyback rides, and I carried so many kids that day. My arms and my back were so sore, but I absolutely loved it. And when the kids would ask me they just always wanted to learn, and they were just always wanting to talk to us. And so they would always ask me, oh, how do you say this in English? And how do you say this in English? And it was so cool that after I told them how to say it, they would always go up to another English speaker and talk to them in English. So it was really cool. But yeah, just within the first like 2 minutes of talking to them, I just fell so deeply in love with them. And so when it came time to do the VBS, we had so many kids come. I was amazed at how many kids showed up at just this small little town. And we started off the VBS by just playing with the kids and getting to know them. We played on the playground and went down the slides with them. And Jacob spun around with them on the little, I don't know what it's called, the spinny thingy that spins. But yeah, so... and then we gathered them all up, and we sang songs, and we have hand movements to every song, so we would teach them the hand movements, and it was so cool to just see them just participating and having so much fun and goofing off and dancing with us. And so after we did the worship, we did a lesson, and our lesson was over prayer. And so and with almost every lesson, we did a memory verse. And so we would cut out pieces of paper with the verses on them, and we would put them on a poster board, and then we would stand in front of the kids and hold the poster board up, and we would have them shout out the verse multiple times, and then every time they would say the verse, we would take a word away, so that by the end of it, there was no paper left, and they just had to say it by memory. And it was so cool because they would get it so easily. I mean, and the next day, they would say it to us because they had remembered it. So... it was really cool. And then with the lesson, we always did a craft as well. And so after the lesson, we made they each made prayer journals. And so they were writing down their prayers and stuff. And then a few kids would just randomly come up to me and be like, what's your name again? And I would tell them, and they would write my name in their prayer journal. And I was like, oh. But yeah, so. And then... after the teaching, Tyler and Jacob, with a couple of the other team members, would go and make balloon animals with the kids, and I would go with some of the girls and do face painting, and I would always pray that I would get mostly girls, because the girls would always ask for things like flowers and butterflies. I mean, that's easy, right? And then the guys would come, or the boys would come, and they would ask for things like Spider-Man. How am I going to paint Spider-Man on your face? So it always turned out to look like a big red blob. But so I always felt really bad afterwards, but oh well. So we finished up the VBS, and we all went out to dinner. Or no, I'm sorry. And then we did love bags. And the love bags is we put a whole bunch of groceries and different necessities. And we split up into two teams, and we went to three different families, and we would pass these love bags out to them. And on the team that I went on, this one woman invited us into her home, and she talked to us for a while, and it was just so cool to just see how happy she was with just a little that we gave her in that bag. And even though it was such a little thing, I really think that just by that little thing that we gave her a little glimpse of God's love, and I think it really impacted her life in a big way. So after the love bags, we went to dinner, and then after dinner we had some free time before we had to go back inside our hotel. And so me and a few of the other team members went to this place called The games, and so it's just down the street a little bit, and they have like foosball tables set up and this little jump house in the middle of it, and just a patio to just play around, and they play music, and so we went, and we played a few games of foosball, and then everybody stopped as soon as they realized how good I was, so... But after a few games of that, we played a few rounds of tag. And then the kids and myself, I mean, we were having so much fun, and I just couldn't stop laughing. And then when we got tired, and by we, I mostly mean me, But we stopped playing tag, and the kids would just grab my hand and take me over to the little patio section. We would all start dancing to the music, and I mean, those kids could have gone all night long and still had the same amount of energy the next morning. They were so much fun. After we got finished playing with them and we had to go back, all the kids followed us back to our hotel to say goodnight to us. And then the next morning was Sunday. And so after breakfast, we went up to the highest point in Chilete and did our devotions. And after devotions, we looked over the ledge and just looked over the town and prayed for them. And I want to ask you guys to be praying for Chilete. They don't have a church there, and they're not being taught any biblical doctrine. So just be praying for them and for someone to go out and raise up a church there. But after devotions, we went back down to the park and had Sunday school with the kids, and we taught them on the way, which is Jesus. And then, unfortunately, after Sunday school, it was time for us to leave. And so we went back to our hotel, got packed up, and then we went to the bus stop. And we waited at the bus stop for about an hour and a half, and that entire hour and a half, probably about half the kids waited there with us and the entire time. And one of the girls would not leave me and Annie, my friend. She wouldn't leave our side. And she would just love on us constantly and giving us hugs and asking us to come back. And she didn't want us to leave, and it broke my heart. And when the bus got there, she took her earring out of her ear, and she handed it to me, and she goes, "Don't ever forget me." And I was just really touched by that, and probably the hardest thing as I've ever done in my life was leaving those kids. I was supposed to be teaching those kids, and I learned so much from them instead. They impacted my life in so many ways. As much as I would like to talk to you guys all night and share about my entire trip, I better leave some for these guys. So here's Tyler.
Thank you. Good evening, Calvary Chapel. That is something I've always wanted to say. Or in Spanish, that's hola, como noches. And that's just me showing off a little bit more. So I'm going to tell you about what I learned in Peru and what my experience was and what God spoke to me, and that was love. That was the main theme that I saw there, that from the time we landed in Lima, Peru, to the time we left, that they were showing us nonstop love. Like, they opened their hearts and invited us into their families. When we landed, we were just going through the airport, no clue about Spanish. We're just walking in. We're like, we hope we can find Corey. We hope we can get to our place where we're supposed to go and get this started. Sure enough, Corey spotted the tall guy, he said. That's how he looked for us, out of all three of us, and I never told him my height, so I was thinking he was looking for Jacob. But when we got landed and Corey found us, like, oh, this is great. We landed at around 12 o'clock at night. And even though it was midnight there, it was still the city of horns. I mean, these people were lit up. There were so much energy, so many cards. Like, in our driving, we have designated spaces. For them, it's whoever can get their way in. And they use their horn to let you know they're coming. So we got to experience that through our first driving there. And I thought, this is where it's going to end for me, right? Wherever we started, I thought it was going to end. But we landed, we get to the college through that 16-hour bus ride. Luckily, we did it at night, so all of us were passed out. Didn't have a clue what was going outside, but it was up high. So when we get to the college, immediately they start showing us nonstop love. They were treating us like they would treat the college students there, even though we were the youngest ones there, but they were still treating us like family. Even the people there in Peru, the locals, we were aliens in their country, yet they were still treating us with so much love. And my favorite experience was definitely Cajamba, because that was our first experience. And if any of you guys know me, I've grown up a shy guy. I would never have thought to myself be sharing my experience in Peru in front of the entire church. I've always been shy, keeping to myself. But through our first outreach, which was Cajamba, I asked Lord, just open me up, make me bold. I don't want to be shy anymore. I want these people to see my love for you. Amen. So sure enough, he did. Through a first experience, I just let go. I didn't care what they think because they probably never seen anybody like me before. And through that experience has been the best time of my life, being able to let go and let the Lord use me through my experience. Through his time for us and the experience that we learned was definitely a blessing. To see all these kids that don't speak English, yet they were still persistent in making you want to speak their language. And you couldn't get by just saying a couple words. You had to speak, understand what they were saying, or they would do it all day until you get it. So through the first experience, we let go. I asked the Lord just to really use me, and he did. These kids were so loving. They'd never seen anybody like this in their village. It was a village up high, like 30-minute drive up the mountains, and it's just a small school, first to fifth grade, I believe, if I remember correctly, that this is where the kids would go to learn, and they would go back home when they're done. But when we got up there, we just immediately got out, get out some soccer balls, because that's what we heard. They love to do that, so we're like, well, we get a shot. None of us played soccer except for Jacob, and he schooled us all. So once we get there, we're like, all right, we can just play soccer, then it'll be fun. Sure enough, it turned into the Olympics up there. Like, their energy and their determination to win and to beat us was definitely really fun to play with. And then also they brought out a jump rope. So the kids were, like, jumping. We were able to teach them. And then some of the interns there were like, hey, let's step it up. Let's try to be cool and demonstrate some cool stuff. Sure enough, they did, and the kids were amazed by it, by what just little things like a rope spinning around can do and have so much fun. So I felt through our first experience that from the time we started to the time we end, they were showing us nonstop love, and they wanted us to stay and continue and sharing our faith with them, to show them how much God meant to us and that we wanted to bestow it upon them. And that was our first outreach and my favorite. But later through this trip, it was 3 days long, we were able to go to the church there in Calvary Chapel, Kahamba, and to speak to the youth group and to play with them and have fun with them. And their energy is way more than the kids. They love to talk to you, even though we can't understand them. They love to hang out to you and just play games with you. We were able to play games with them and to read or listen to what the word was that day. But on our last night there, this was my favorite time. Me and Jacob got to share our testimonies for them. I thought to myself, I don't know how they're going to understand what I've been through or what I've done. But when I was finished, after I shared, pretty much half of them related to all of what I've been through. And my heart was broken to see how I thought I was alone, but all these people were struggling with the stuff that I struggled with. And that just broke my heart to show, I need to show these people love. All the stuff that they think they're alone and they're not comforted, I want to give them that love to show them that there's a God out there who loves them and has never left them. And that was absolutely amazing to be able to share what the Lord did in my life and to see how much it mirrored their lives, that all of them related to what I've been through. And they came to me afterwards saying, oh, I had a translator next to me, so I understood them. Like, you did such a good job tonight. You spoke to my heart because that's exactly what I've been through. And my heart was just broken. I had to go in a private spot just because my heart was broken to see how much the Lord was needed there. Even though they have a church that they didn't have anybody to resemble to, or to see that they've been through that too. So it was definitely a blessing to be able to go to that youth group and to share with those kids how much God is needed and how much God's love is perfect and all of everything that we do, and that he never leaves us. But through also our experience, I was a fairly new believer, so I didn't really know much scripture that I could tell them. And then once we get our first orientation about how the cleaning your clothes will go, how breakfast, lunch, and dinner will go, Corey, our director, told us that we will be sharing devotionals in front of everybody for 20 minutes before we start our class. So I was like, oh, this will be fun. No clue what I'm going to talk about. I mean, I'm talking about in front of, there was some new college people there starting their M199s, which is their work so they can get some hours in. And they're college students. This is like their third year. And I'm like, I get to share to them? They're going to be judging me. But the Lord really used me. I was trying to share with Abraham and Isaac and what faith can do if you just stand firm in the Lord. But God had better plans for that. Right before my devotional and before breakfast, I was like, all right, I got this all prepared, Abraham, Isaac, it's locked in the memory. But then the Lord spoke to me that I'm going to be reading in James 1. And I had to just sit there and read and just study what the Lord was teaching me and what the Lord was showing to me that I would share with these people. And through that, I didn't know about that passage, how much I needed to know it and how much I would love to share it. So when we got up there, I thought that was a little nervous, share in front of college students, but this is pretty much more nervous. But once I just let go, like I did in the beginning, just letting the Lord use me and not holding back what others think, because that's not what our faith is about. It's what others think about you. It's not about building that friendship that you want them to be your friends forever, but never to share the gospel with them. That's how I always was. Just I always want to be your friend. I don't want to share with you because I don't want to be judged by you or rejected. But through that experience, the Lord just showed me that's not what it's about. It's about being bold and proclaiming your faith for who do you say that I am to you? Who am I in your life? And to be able to share that with these people and not be afraid was absolutely an amazing time for me. Through the locals that we talked to there, all through evangelism and just house visits, so many of them were broken and how much they needed the Lord. We were there for a reason, to share God's love with them and to teach them how much his love is needed and what he can do for you. As long as you just open up your hearts and let him in. So many people were open to this. So many people gave their lives to the Lord because they saw that how much he is needed. On our last night in a place called Moyobamba, or Wacho, where we lost two of our team members, this is where our last outreach there that night. We just broke up into groups and spread out. I was the only English speaker. Corey and some other people all spoke Spanish when they were speaking to them. So I was just sitting back just listening to what was going on. And after we were done, we talked to, I think, five people total, my group. All of them came to the Lord because they all saw how much his faith was and how much is needed. And to see these people just let us come up to them and speak to them, and what they call this gringos, which means white folk, we were able to go up and speak to them just to share. Sometimes we got rejected, sometimes they let us speak to them. It was just an amazing time just to hear their story and what they're going through, and then be able to represent it with scripture and how it relates to it. And that was my favorite part about this trip, is how much love I saw and how much was given to me on this trip. Thank you.
Hello. Before I even was able to go to the trip, I wasn't sure if I was going to go because I just graduated. I was thinking of getting a job and thinking of college and stuff. And then I was waiting on a job to see if I get in. And if I did, then I wasn't going to go on the trip. And I ended up not getting it. So I was like, okay, Lord, I'll go on the trip. And then, we couldn't have done it without you guys, but with all the donations and prayers, so thank you to that. And I didn't know what I was expecting while I went there, so I was going to be open-minded and just see what the Lord had planned for. And I got to get my notes. I already forgot. Okay. Oh, yeah, okay. My favorite moment was probably I was just letting the Lord just speak through me to be able to talk, because I'm not a very good speaker in front of people. So we're in Cajabamba, and this was our second night there, and we're just at a bonfire. We're all together, and they're just doing worship. And I just felt at peace, and I just prayed to the Lord, and I rededicated my life to Christ. And yeah. Because before, I was just going through the motions at church every Sunday, Wednesday, just to be here. And I was just able to... God brought me back to him, basically. And then we had to share our testimonies, and I was very scared. Because I didn't know what to say. I was just like, okay, this is what I'm going to say. So I just started writing stuff down. And the first time I did speak, but it didn't really go smoothly. And then I got another opportunity to share my testimony, and I just prayed the Lord to speak through me, and I said, I'm not going to say this. I'm just going to let you speak through me. And it went a lot smoother. Same with my devos. I said, I'm going to say this, and just whatever. So the second time I shared my devo was a lot smoother as well. And while we did our evangelism, that was scary for me too. And so I'd always pray and just take this fear away from me. And then we did a lot of skits in front of like the town center, just dramas. And it was fun. And then my favorite cities was Moyobamba. And that was a city we arrived in, then we went to the jungle. That was a good experience, just to see, because whenever we went there, the people, they were kind of scared, because they never really they never seen a lot of people. We were there for a couple days, and then they started opening up to us, and we weren't the ones saying hi to them first. They're the ones coming to us and saying hi. And Tyler has a good story for that place at the jungle. And then that night we arrived back. We finally had some really good food, so we just downed everything. We ate some caterpillars there. And it was weird. And the next day, it was our last day there, and it was basically our free day, and then we got to go to these hot springs there. That was really fun. I'd never been to one. We were there for about an hour, I think. And then we went to a viewpoint, looked over everything. We went to this one place. They said they had like alligators or crocodiles. It wasn't that. I don't know what it was. They didn't know what it was either. And there's these like little alligator things like that. I don't know. It was weird. And then then we came back. That was basically our day. And my other one, we went to this orphanage. It was a very beautiful place. Before we even arrived, or we're pulling up, and the kids are already like out there waiting for us. And then we pulled in, and it's just this huge field. Is there a picture?
Yeah.
Okay, you guys will see. Yeah, it's just a huge field, and there's a little homemade soccer goal and a little basketball court in the back, then a pool, and then the house along that. It was really beautiful, and the kids were awesome. They were crazy, too. They had so much energy. And, we played when we first got there, we basically introduced ourselves, got in our rooms, and we played soccer with them. That was tiring. Then after we swam with the kids. And down there, it's winter, so the water was freezing. Yeah, it was fun, though. Then after we swam, we played soccer again. Then we had a little bonfire, and we ate and had worship again. And... I just really enjoyed the time. Just letting God work through me and being able to speak, let God speak through me, and not my words, but his. And that felt like 10 minutes, but there. We're going to talk about pictures.
How's everybody doing?
Is it on? So yeah, we have pictures to show. Okay, there we go. Okay, so this is the Bible College. This is the back picture of it. And then, okay, well, there was, okay, I guess not, okay. this is the first place that Tyler was talking about. It's a little school for the kids, and where we played a few games of soccer with them. And then, yeah, this is another picture of them all playing soccer. And then we rounded them up to give them a Bible study and do crafts. And so this is the craft they did. These are a couple of the girls. And the guy. What? Okay, and then this is me, obviously, and my friend Annie, and that's baby Adrian. So the church in Cahabamba does this thing where the mother of this baby was raped, and so the church kind of adopted this baby, and they provide diapers and food and clothing for this baby, and every couple Sundays they do a thing called the shower ministry, and so different people from the town can come and just take a shower at the church. And so Annie and I bathed the baby Adrian. So, yeah. There he is. And then with the shower ministry, did you want?
Yeah, is there, go to the other picture? Is it there?
Oh, no, there's another one after this one. Sorry.
Yeah, can you go to that one? And then go back to that one after. Okay, yeah, I got to help with this girl. I forget her name, but they didn't really know the whole family was going to, or this was a different family, so they weren't really prepared. So we could only wash her hair because the other families were, and the other ones. But I got to hold her while Katrina got to wash her hair. And in this picture, you see another girl helping me hold the girl. But she was only there for a couple minutes, and I was alone. Then she got heavy. So I was just praying to the Lord, just give me strength. And then I had another girl after this. And you can go to the top one. Yeah, then after we washed her hair, I got to brush her hair, and I had some practice with Stephanie. I remember some techniques. Start at the bottom so it doesn't hurt. But while I was doing that, one of the other ladies brought the other girl, and she just started going like that really hard. So I was like, oh, man. But it didn't seem to bother the girl. And yeah, after that, it was, yeah, they really loved that. It was a blessing, too. This is guinea pig.
So this is what the locals call kui, and this is their sacred dish, guinea pig. And it looks like they just caught it from out back. the way they served it. But we were out for lunch, not expecting a thing. And one of the leaders like, hey, why don't you guys try Kui? We're like, sure. Brings out a plate like this. And we're like, never mind. So this is what it looks like. They just really chop it in half and put it on a plate. There's still hair and teeth and all that in it. You know how everybody says everything tastes like chicken? This was slimy chicken.
Oh yeah, this is when I got rebaptized. This was in the same city, Cahabamba, and this was a couple days after I rededicated my life. And it was cool because this was a hike, and it was like about a 30-minute hike up a hill. And this was a little waterfall. They say it's usually filled in the summertime. Yeah, it was cool. I went up there and then came back. A new person. Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
Oh, yeah, this is Tyler.
Must be like a sun glare or something right there. So, yes, me and Jacob, both on that hike, we both got rebaptized to show that we're both in for God and we're not in for the world. And so we get up to this point where they said we'd be hiking to waterfall, and I was like hoping for like Niagara Falls, and this thing was not Niagara Falls. So we're like, they first announced that this is where Jacob began baptized. So he gets in, does his thing, and then I get in after him. And they, like we said, it was the winter, so that water was freezing. We're like, hurry up and do this. I want to get out. And this is us after we both got baptized. And I believe that's Elijah in the back. He was also one of the kids there who got baptized with us to show to his friends that he's also in for the Lord. So that was a really cool experience and more sun glare.
Oh, so that's the steep hill back down. They all walked down it. I slid on my butt. okay, so... So this is Cajamarca in the city part. So we were up in the mountains for the college in Cajamarca. And then in the city, it's about 20-minute drive. We went and we got together some kids. And we would just show up at a park. And we would get some kids together and start playing Duck, Duck, Goose. And a whole bunch of kids would come in and join. And then we would give them a Bible lesson. So, yeah, it was awesome. A whole bunch of kids came to the Lord. And then, so we taught them on the fruits of the Spirit. And so afterwards, they had a craft where they had to say the fruit of the Spirit. And then after they would say it, they would cover it up with paper and try and memorize it. And we would wear crazy hats. And then the second day in Cajamarca, we went to another park and basically did the same thing. And we did stations, so they would switch from the Bible study and then do the balloons and do the face paint. And then that's us playing Duck, Duck, Goose with them. Oh, okay, so it's a bad picture, but every night, or not every night, on the nights that I could in Cajamarca, me and whatever girls wanted to come up, we would go on top of the roof of our dorms, which it's a flat roof, so we were perfectly safe. We would go up, and they have different constellations in Peru. And so we would go up, and we would just sit up there and watch the stars and just be reminded of how amazing God is, And I think the first night I went up there, I counted, and I saw 25 shooting stars. It was the first time I'd ever seen a shooting star, and I got to see 25 of them. So it was amazing. And then this is...
So we had a little downtime before our next outreach, and this was us in the city of Cajamarca. We're at about a high point, so it was like a church on a hill. And so this is like the lookout point, so we all thought it would be like, oh, let's take a picture. And this is what it looked like when you reach the top of the stairs, and I was like climbing Mount Everest just without the cold. And so this is all the group that went with us that day that just took some time for us to bond and just to have fun before our next outreach. Oh, 4th of July. We have some stories for those.
This is the girls.
Yeah. So this is us eating dinner.
Oh, that was a great dinner. It was the cookie grilled so much food.
Steak.
Oh, go back.
Oh, it's switching on its own.
Yeah, first we started playing volleyball because it's 4th of July, so why not? And so we played a little bit of volleyball before we ate. And then after we ate, we came back and then we did USA versus Peru. And of course, USA won, right? Oh, yeah, they decorated the little cafeteria thing with, This is Cajamarca again at the previous outreach. Oh, now this was our boat that we rode for 6 hours to the jungle. And it was nice and humid and hot, and it rained maybe a good hour, maybe?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like pouring.
Yeah, pouring. It wasn't just light drizzle. It was... Yeah, we're going against the current, so it took us forever to get there. Yeah, hold on. And then once we got there, there's this huge hill we had to walk up, and we had to carry all of our luggage and all that other stuff. So it was tiring.
And Corey, our leader, would make fun of me because going up the hill, I had some pretty nice luggage that I had brought. And so going up the hill, I'm just dragging my little suitcase through the jungle. And so our leader was making fun of me the whole time. This is where the girls stayed, and the guys stayed in a similar looking cabin. And we just pitched our tents inside the cabin for extra protection. The first day there, we did a VBS, and so we got all the kids together. And as you can see in the back, they have their alphabet. They do not speak Spanish. They speak their own language. Awahun is what they speak. And so it was a little difficult because first we were already not speaking Spanish, and then we weren't speaking Awahun. So, yeah, but the Spanish speakers had translators, so it worked out good, and the kids really opened up to us, so, yeah. And that's us trying our fried caterpillar. It was so good. And so those are the kids doing the crafts. So a couple of the kids there and me. And then I just had to take this picture. This is in the jungle and the sunset. And then them doing the crafts. And Jacob took this picture, so he has photo credit for that. But it's a rainbow, if you didn't know. And then this is us. We did the songs and the hand movements with the kids. And so that's me and Anna and Jacob.
So while this is going on, you don't see Tyler, because we don't know where Tyler's at. He just left, and so in my head, I'm thinking, oh, he's at the restroom, but he's gone for a long time, so I'm like, I don't know, it's probably that caterpillar. And then, so, he was gone for a good 30 minutes, and then we finished up our lessons and stuff, then we walk out, and then, we see Tyler taking a nap, and then I'll let Tyler tell the rest.
So yeah, they were doing an outreach right there, and for that trip, I specifically bought 5 water bottles because I knew it would be humid up there. Day 1, 1 disappears. Okay, I got 4 more. Day 2, 3 disappear. Okay, that's not fun. And then on our last day there, I have no water bottles, so I haven't had water in 24 hours, and it was very hot. So when they're doing an outreach, I'm like, I'm not feeling so well. I'm going to try to get back to the cabin and get some shade. By the time I reach our cabin, luckily, it was just across the dirt road. I didn't make it. On the way there, I passed out on the doorstop. It took him 45 minutes to notice I was gone. We really bonded on that trip. But once they saw that I was laying on the ground, they said that the kids swarmed me, thinking I was pulling a prank, that I was going to scare them. But I didn't wake up. And then luckily, one of the interns there, or the helpers, his name was Job, and he was there to help me by taking me into the tent, and it took him 15 to 20 minutes just to wake me up. That Kaylee ran to Corey as he was teaching to the tribes or the people there in the Sunday service, telling them that Tyler passed out and that we can't get him to wake up. So the whole village there, when I woke up, they were all over, just standing over me. And when I woke up, I had no control over my body. It's like they drugged me, and I didn't like it. My body refused. So when they found me, the whole village was there. We're supposed to do a group prayer, but I ruined that opportunity. I was just doing that for like the shows because I just wanted all the attention that day. And I got the best spot in the boat ride though for 6 hours. That was nice. So then the next slide. And so the guy in the blue, that's Joe. That's the one who helped me. We grew closer that day. And this is us on our way back. This is the way there. More crafts, and Kaylee's really concentrated on that photo. And this is our group that we took before, I don't remember what outreach this was to, our last one to Chilete. So this is our last group. This is our last day in the college. It was a very sad day because that's the day that when all the real college people came there to start their courses, and we had to be able to meet them, do some classes with them, and then we had to leave. And in the middle right there is John Bonner. And he was a blessing, I'm sure, to all of us. And this is the point viewing over Chilete that Kaylee mentioned. Kaylee with the girl.
Okay, so they were addicted to our phones and taking pictures. They loved taking pictures. And so it was so funny because they would just take your phone and want to take so many pictures and just so many selfies. And then they would just randomly have your phone and ask you to go stand over by yourself and just take pictures of you. So I'm just like, so this is us doing our prayer books with the kids. And then that's the whole group of Chilete that we talked to. And then we took pictures with some of the kids and our group in front of the big Chilete sign. And then we went to Trujillo, which we got a little break and had some fun. And so I went to Trujillo and surfed some waves. And yeah.
This place wasn't fun to swim, or surf and swim. The water was freezing. It was like 60 degrees, they said, and it was not sand when you walked out. It was pure rocks, and you just cut your feet trying to get out there. So I surfed maybe once, and then I couldn't get back out there. My feet were dead. So I just got on the boogie board, because if we did the surfboard in too soon, then and we got on top of it, it'd make holes from the rocks. So we had to basically carry our boards over the rocks till we got deep enough to get on top. So I like the boogie board, because you can just get on top right away. And yeah, that was the surfboards. Oh yeah, we got to do public showers too. That was fun. That was my first time paying for a shower.
In Huacho, we went to pre-Incan ruins, and so this is a picture of the pre-Incan ruins. And then this is us leaving Huacho, which was a very, very sad day, because we had to, two of our team members lived in Huacho, and so they stayed behind while we continued on. So, yeah. And then after Huacho, we went to Ventania, right? Ventania. And in Ventania, we went to this a whole bunch of college or high school students. And we went and we shared our testimonies with them. And then Mario, the one in the red sweatshirt, gave a lesson. And all 19 out of the 25 got saved that day. And then this is back in Huacho. Sorry, it's switched up. This is back in Huacho. We had a night of just going out and evangelizing, and we did worship afterwards. And then this is in Ventania. This is a few of the kids that I got to spend a lot of time with. And then we did s'mores and a campfire with them after their Bible lesson. And then we did a memory verse, like I was saying with the memory verse. And then afterwards, we stacked them all up on the table, all the words. And we came back into the room because we were outside doing the fire. And we came back in, and these two boys had put the memory verse back in order on the wall.
This was the orphanage. Those were two of three triplets. So I never remembered who was who. That was their little homemade swing. This was the little building. And then to the left, there's the pool. And that was their little field right there, a little soccer, their soccer goal. We were playing soccer right there. My team won, of course. This was our bonfire. They started making the bonfire right here. Oh, this was all the popcorn we made, 10,000 bags.
So, yeah, we woke up, we were making... Well, they started out painting, and I started out with the popcorn. And so I was with popcorn for 18 hours that day. And I was the counter, so I had to keep track of what number we were at all the way up to 10,000. I know you didn't think I could count that high, right? But I can. And but after they got done painting, they all came and joined. And so this is us filling up the bags. And we did have a machine that would seal the bags. And then that broke. So we had to use candles, which took a lot longer, to seal the bags. And so, yeah, that's us. And then that's us finally finished at 10,000 bags of popcorn at like 1 a.m. maybe? 12? Yeah, 1 a.m. And then we finished that. And then afterwards they were like, oh, well, we made another batch, so might as well finish that one. All right.
Yeah, before this we were on the painting team, me and Tyler, and then usually painting doesn't take that long. I was thinking maybe a couple hours, but it was more like from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. we were painting, and a lot of sanding. Wax on, wax off, right? So that was tiring, and then we went to the popcorn for another good 4 hours. Yeah, this is the orphanage again. That was her dog, Goldie. Oh, this was their Independence Day.
Okay, so Katsi and I, that's the girl on the right, and we were a team. And so we went out, and we were passing out tracts along with the popcorn bags. And I got to talk to, she would translate for me. She was just like, go for it, Kaylee. And so I talked to a whole bunch of people and got to pray with a lot of people, and Katsi would translate for me. And these are four of the people that got saved. Okay, and then this is Lima. After that, we left, and we had our free day, and so we went to Lima and the capital. This is the president's house. Actually, you can't really tell, but there actually it's the changing of the guard right there. So we got to watch the changing of the guard. And then we went to the catacombs. So, yeah. That's me logging the numbers for popcorn and passing out the popcorn. We had to haul that bag around. It's not light. And then there's Jacob and Annie passing out the popcorn. Face painting. Sorry, the pictures are a little mixed up. And then we would do skits.
So this is our outreach in Cajamba, where we, all the skits and dances that we learned, we would, that was our first night performing them, and to draw them in, we did the that one dance where you do this and this and that, and Macarena. So we did that dance, everybody thought we were crazy. That was our goal. We wanted people to think that. So once we got everybody drawn into our craziness, we were able to start the skits and then the message. This is me painting. It's go hard to go home, right? You got to do it right. So this is our team at the catacomb.
No, this is the...
Oh, yeah. And this is us in the jungle. Getting those handprints. And this is the springs that they went on the trip. I didn't go on it because you had to wake up at 7. I was like, I'd rather sleep. I haven't woke up in a while. So I was able to sleep in, and then we went to our next destination. Thank you. But there was one story up there that they... There was one story up there that I'll make it quick, but they didn't show. We couldn't get it to work, but on the 4th of July, we had a big celebration, and our friend Josiah, and he was the biggest gringo we've ever met. We were playing the volleyball and having a blast, and then he decides, let's go get some fireworks. Let's light up some fireworks on the top of the roof. It's like, all right, but he told us that when he got the fireworks, the guy made them in his house right in front of him. And he said, when you get it, light it right where it ignites, so it spark up and it'd be a great explosion. So he did, and immediately as he did that, our friend Mario and Joaquin, they were trying to cover the fire, not let the wind get to it, immediately blew up, catching Mario, our friend's shirt, on fire, and blowing up some of our friend's hair, and they're running on the roof screaming because he's on fire, and we're just laughing at him because that's what guys do. So all the girls and all the rest of the people are downstairs at a bonfire where we're on the roof, just lighting them up, trying to make a show. Once that one lights up, they hear a bunch of girls' screams. They're like, don't worry about it. It's all right. But then for another one, it's just like a box of 12 that just shot up straight in the air. But it wasn't heavy enough to hold itself down. So when the first one lit up and started spinning them on the roof. So it was like World War III. But the leaders abandoned us. They went down the stairs, and us, me, Jacob, and a couple other guys were just running back and forth on the roof, screaming. And me and Jacob both got hit in the chest by a firework. And that was a fun experience. And everybody down below was like, what's going on? We're like, don't worry about it. Like, they hear a bunch of girl screams up there. Like, us five guys up there just turned into a bunch of girls.